Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk about a little corner of practice that's kind of basic, but it's good. I think it's good for us to review these things from time to time, just to see where we are and maybe remind you of things that you've known before, or hopefully maybe see something in a little different way than you may have looked at it before. So one of the features of our lives as we practice, it becomes evident that we experience the world in a subjective way. And part of the reason for this is because there's so much information coming into our senses that the body-mind has to make selections, lots of selections. And it makes those selections in accordance with our own history, in accordance with belief systems, and that sort of thing. So each of us has a different way of receiving and interpreting based upon our makeup and history. So much of this happens below the surface. So it's like an invisible system creating a reality in each moment. And because we're because we're doing this from moment to moment, each of us is looking at the world, or actually creating the world, through our own subjective veils. And you know, we know this from our practice, we know this from our reading. But one of the bases for this fact is that when we perceive information, there's almost an immediate categorization by our body-mind. And the categorization is classically considered pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. And as simple as that distinction is, it's a really helpful distinction for understanding how we relate to the world. And it's one of our first explorations as meditators. In our fundamentals class, we have a practice where we ask people to meditate and then we make noises, and most of the noises are considered unpleasant. So it's a way of seeing in an immediate way how the body mind makes that immediate determination, and what happens from there really builds a lot of what our practice is all about. So after a few minutes of listening and hearing these, usually our body is sort of braced, because one of the things that happens when you have something like that unpleasant, the body will kind of tighten up. And after a few minutes of that, the body is just tight and braced inside. And that's one of the usual common responses to an unpleasant or a series of unpleasant noises. So there's two things, I've sort of gone through this, there's two things that happen in quick succession, and I'll just review it one more time. We have a sense perception. In other words, the sound is touching our hearing apparatus. And then the body-mind almost immediately categorizes it. And this is the building block for the classic statement that we hear so much of grasping and aversion. Because the next step that can happen if it goes in a more or less common unconscious way is that we reject anything that's unpleasant, and we move towards something that's pleasant. Now, I'm using the unpleasant example because it's a little easier to follow through with in a simple way. Pleasant has its own traps as well. But it's not a very effective defense, because resistance just makes the body more tense, and it doesn't actually, you know, it doesn't actually change things, except it adds, my body's tense, and I really wish this would go away, on top of whatever else was happening. So, and that's just one sense organ, and it's just with a few sounds. So in our lives, this is happening moment to moment with all of our sense organs, our seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and touch. So multiply the exercise times 1,000 times a day, and that's more or less, you know, how our experience goes. So if we have this continual rejection of these experiences, this forms a basis for us to have this historical small self trying to control and manipulate and make things just right, trying to find how things can be just perfect in this moment. And it's based upon us wanting something to be different than it is. So one reason it doesn't help is because it's fundamentally a rejection of what's happening. And this is the subjective world that we inhabit, and when we identify it, it creates even more momentum for this created subjective small self. So you can feel the tightness in this place as I even speak about it. And there's a certain hopelessness about it, because it's never just right. It's never quite just right for this. And that hopelessness can actually be an opening to something interesting, but that's kind of for another talk. We talk about our created small self in practice, and sometimes it's hard to see it in a big overall way. And we've lived in it for so long, and we identify it with so completely and unconsciously that it just feels like reality. So it's helpful to break it down into these small pieces and see it. And our meditation practice, conveniently enough, is a great time to do it. It's often the easiest time to see the arising of this rejection of the moment. Something happens which is irritating. The sound upstairs is too loud. Somebody coughs in the room. Your knee starts to be in pain. The room is too cold. The room is too hot. You know, any of those things is an opportunity for you to just notice the unpleasant. Something happens, a sound, an itch, a difficult emotion, the phone rings, your husband hollers at you from the basement, and you hear it, and your body kind of rejects it. A tension in the shoulders, a dark thought, I really didn't want that to happen. So our practice, and this is the beauty of the meditation practice, is that we can see these things in such a clear way. Our practice is just to open and be with them. And if the tension arises, be with the tension. If the dark thought arises, I really wish it wouldn't be that way, just be with the dark thought. Those things will not last. We know from our practice that things are always changing. So it's not like it's gonna be there forever. So the thought comes and goes, our tension is there for a while, and it'll pass when we're no longer rejecting it. If we continue to reject it, it more or less keeps the thing going or keeps adding energy to it. So one of the things that we notice over time in our practice is that we're often reactive. And again, this is based on rejecting often, not always, but often it's based on rejecting what's happening, rejecting the moment, rejecting what's being served up in this moment for you. And it's about wanting to control and keep things in a way that's comfortable for this small self. So our practice is to bring more awareness to it and do our best not to mess with it. And if we mess with it, notice we're messing with it. Gosh, I really don't like that. And just be with the fact that you really don't like that. Let whatever's there be fully open to to your I don't want to say awareness, but to your attention. Let your attention be with whatever's there. So over time, we start to notice that we're looser about how things are and the way that moments present themselves. And we generate some space around it. And without rejecting, without having this kind of feeling of in there, things kind of pass through and flow in an easier way. So over time, we relax and we start to take these intrusions a little less personally. A loud noise is just a loud noise. It's still unpleasant, but it doesn't have to be a personal affront to, you know, who we are, and it doesn't have to be, doesn't have to have a big story about how, you know, the world should be different than it is and people shouldn't do that sort of thing. Doesn't have to be, have that sort of feel to it. It's just unpleasant. And when we start to inhabit a bigger place, and this place, it's not identified with this small self. And the bigger place can hold it all without identifying with the irritations. So another good thing about this practice is that even in these little small increments, even if it's just for a moment or two during your meditation, that you're able to just be open to whatever's there, it starts to make that drip, drip, drip of letting yourself be more open, more easy with things. But it's also worth saying we're not trying to change ourselves. We're not trying to say, oh, I should do this better. And this isn't none of this should be taken as an opportunity to, you know, beat yourself up because you didn't do it right. It's good to just say you're doing it right at any time because you're doing the best you can with it. But as these moments start to accumulate, the awareness itself will do the heavy lifting. There's nothing you need to do. That's the other wonderful thing about it. The less doing, the better. And it's great to have something in your life that where you don't have to do anything. So the daily experience can be lighter and more open. And if that small structure is prominent from time to time or even most of the time, there can still be some ease around it, with less rejecting of what is. And I'm reminded of, at the end, I'm reminded of a really, once in a while these little phrases come that have helped me, and I know, I think have helped others that relate to this. And it's just a simple statement that I sometimes think about when I find myself kind of tied up in something. What's missing from this moment? And, you know, as I just say it right now, you know, what's missing from this moment for you? And I think the usual answer is nothing. The moment's just fine the way it is. So I'll end there. And thank you for listening. Oh, you got it. So we have some time for sharing. And most of you have been here before, but some of you haven't. So I'll just review a couple of ground rules. If you share